Greetings to you on this Thirsty Thursday podcast. Glad you are here. And again, hopeful and joyful in that we are soaking in and hungry for, thirsty for more of God's word in our life as we seek to live out faith, hope, and love here in our world. Well, today I'm going to be diving into chapter 5 of 1 John. And another building block for this writer. We have covered the territory of the Word of Life, how God is light, how Christ is our advocate, how sin is a major part of our world and in dynamic tension with the work of Jesus, how we are then called to love one another, but we got to be careful for the spirits that are testing us or getting in the way or causing stumbling among us, with the focus then moving to God is love. And now we are to the point of loving God, or letting our faith and the faith and trust that we've put into God to conquer, in 1 John's words, the world, to conquer the world. And so I'll read those few verses. We're reading just a few today. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now the testimony concerning this Son of God is, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify. It's the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. And those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have been made by him a liar by not believing the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So powerful testimony. Faith conquers the world, and in Jesus we have life, abundant life, and eternal life. So it starts out in this section really pointing us to the fact again that love is active, and to love God is to obey God. God's laws are intended to guide our lives, not make us feel guilty. I often use that word. They put a hedge of protection around us in order to help us navigate what life can really look like. And not following God's will can make our lives seem bleak and even futile. I think we can all agree to that a lot of times we'll ask, what is our purpose? What is this life about? What are we to be about in this world? And we need a higher vision, a higher purpose. And I say, you know, so many times as a pastor, that as we dive into God's word and we explore who God is and who Jesus is, it helps us find our direction and our call of how we are to live. And it makes life bigger. It doesn't really shrink life. It might provide focus, but it actually expands life and makes it beautiful and blessed. And so when loving and obeying God, it leads to joy and meaning and direction. And I think it makes life more possible in community when we focus in on that. So what about this faith conquering the world in this section? Well, the statement that I'd want to make is that we are born of God. This writer wants us to know that you're born of God. So God within, God sends, God in the sending function. And being born of God, we then live and serve in this world by faith. And we are assured that God is active, that there's more going on than meets the eye. And yes, that we will live eternally, that we'll live full life. So being born of God, just as Christ is being born of God, right? God sends Jesus through Mary and Joe into this world to grow up, to know God's word, to teach in the temple as a young boy, and then to love and to serve and to heal and to feed, and then to serve by a towel and a basin. Again, the primary focus there, Jesus holding nothing back, his cup overflowing. And us then gathering at a table of communion where we say, love and life win because of what God has done. A feast will be prepared. All will be gathered. We hear in baptism the promises of the waters that wash over us, that name and claim us as God's children, and that we actually die in those waters of baptism and we're raised to new life. And that's a daily practice, every day dying and rising in Christ, our life resting there in God. And it's the belief for this writer in Jesus that makes real for us God's gift of eternal life. He wants us to have that laser-like focus on this belief, this what's translated as trust. So when we hear belief, we often are focused upon a cognitive exercise. I got to get my mind right. I got to say yes to all of these things in order to get there, when in all actuality, it's more like a trust fall. Falling into the arms of God. Like what we do at summer camp with kids when they have to fall backwards and fall into the arms of people that they can't even see, maybe those that they don't even know well. But if we actually are honest, isn't all of life a trust fall? Isn't all of life a trust fall? So much of what we do, trusting the people around us, counting on the people around us to do what they're supposed to do, to love and protect and to serve and to do all of those things. And so very, very important about what genuine faith and genuine life looks like as we focus on God's gift for life among us. Now, in this book, there is this understanding that there is a point of tension. And the Gnostics of the day, they were distorting this message. And so the writer of 1 John wanting to be clear what faith and what trust and what life is to look like. Whereas the Gnostics weren't emphasizing God as much or they were maybe minimizing the work of Jesus. They in one person's perspective, they were more in love with love than they were with the love that God is pouring out in Jesus. So Christ was just a symbol or a representation, and where this writer and what we would say is the church, no, God is that very thing. It's not a symbol or a representation. It is the real deal. And we're not to be confused by that. That Jesus sacrifices in love because that's who he is. The love of God is made flesh in Jesus and it's carried out into the world through us. And that's where you then get this word of what is water and blood and spirit, those three held together. Well, it takes what we would say the waters of baptism, the blood of the cross, the wind of the Spirit to make possible God's intentions for us, this gift of life. We say we can't save ourselves. We can't ultimately redeem ourselves, that we need God to do that. And yes, we see God's salvific work, salvation for the world being practiced, poured out, and experienced in him. And so again, faith and belief that God does it, that God is the one at work within. And that takes off, I think, the weight and the pressure that we might feel that our faith has to take on every burden of the world. No, we might engage in the work. We have to roll up our shirt sleeves and do the work. But ultimately, the greater force, the greater power that is at work is love. God is there in you, in each of us. So in the service for baptism that we practice as the church for both infants, young people, adults, all of the above, we say these words. We say in baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By the water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God. And we are made members of the church, the body of Christ. And so living with Christ and in communion of the saints, we grow in faith and love and obedience to the will of God. Yes, living with Christ and in the communion of the saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Obedience is not a popular word nowadays. Most of us don't really resonate with obedience, but it's in communion with those who've gone before, in communion with those who are being raised up right now in our midst, in communion with each other who still walk as yet by faith, that we grow in faith and love. I love that it points to a movement. There's a missional direction of our life. Our love is to continually increase as we grow in faith and hope and love over the years. It increases among us. And of course, this writer would want to remind us always that the power of evil is always at work in the world. We know this, and that's going to be a challenge for us. And so what do we do with that power of evil around us? Well, we live out our baptism, and we do so in a world that, yes, is held captive by sin, by brokenness, but we are freed. We are to live beyond it. In a song that we sang at Easter by Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace, our chains are gone. We've been set free to live in God, with God, and for God. And so salvation of the world isn't just a future time, but salvation is also for this present living in the here and now where we are. We want to know and believe more. We want to live more in that grace of God in the here and now, because this, on this side of things, it's where things are changed. It's where things are brought to life. We don't live in the abstract, but we work in human flesh to form the depth of love that prompts and you know, builds up our believing and our growth in faith. And as we say all the time as the church, and as the writer of 1 John would say to us, we are an Easter people. We have a victory in Christ's death, and there's resurrection from the grave. But the challenges and trials that we go through in the here and now, as children of God, we can face those challenges with courage and hope because of our faith in Jesus. That resurrection is a one for all time. A resurrection that shapes and changes the future. It's why in our Easter season right now, we're focused on that word risen and how resurrection has become real in each of our lives. And then responding with that to say, so what difference does it make? How do we live now? What will we do? And I think we're called to live with great courage and great hope and great resilience. Resilience in the here and now in faith helps us to take on the challenges and trials of our faith and our life. And so the victory is won by Jesus. Sin and death, while it may be a daily companion of ours, the battle will always continue on, yet God is there. God at work in you. And so what is the testimony that you have to make? What is the testimony that you would share with others of how God is at work in your life? And in the last session that I'll do next week for this podcast, we'll look at the epilogue and some last little warnings. You know, we always have warnings that go off in our car or things that point out here danger ahead. But I think right now, the most important gift that we take away from 1 John is that with God as love and God residing in us, being that love for us, we engaging and growing into that love over our lifetime, we can dismantle the hate, we can take down the dividing walls, and we can go to work on bringing about that eternal life, heaven to earth, a taste of the feast that is to come right here and right now. Where does that have to happen in your life? Where do you see it needing to happen in the world? Well, in closing, in a conversation with a wonderful person here at Grace, we were talking about the world and the challenge of the world, how it continues to increase in violence, every kind of violence. And we were talking about Jesus, and did Jesus ever imagine a world with increasing levels of violence? Well, Jesus died at the hands of one of the most violent empires that has ever existed on planet Earth. And those empires, just like that, continue to reign. Violence and death. He was crushed, put down, persecuted, mocked, and destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. And the writer of John knows that that will always be in our face. The world is slow to change. The world is slow to put on the cape, the superhero cape of love. We test it out, but we haven't fully embraced it yet. But more and more, through you and through the loving hearts and minds of people who abide in God, just as God abides in them, the world will see and know. The world will see and know. And the crosses of the world will be dismantled. The tombs will then remain empty. And God's life and love will certainly reign. So Jesus, forever with us. And so, as always, on this day, I say, stay thirsty, my friends, and keep diving into and praying through God's word, and join together often, because in that, there is life. Until next time, take good care.